Deuteronomy 22, we're going to pick up verse number 1. Deuteronomy 22, verse 1. And the Bible says this, "Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. In like manner shalt thou do with his ass, and so shalt thou do with his raiment, and with all lost thing of thy brother's, which he hath lost and thou hast found, shalt thou do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again." Father, thank you for your word, for your wondrous, amazing grace and mercy. Father, help us and guide us and direct us out of that word this morning. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. I want you to notice that we have here in verses 1 through 4 of Deuteronomy 22, different responsibilities that the children of Israel were accountable for to a brother. Different responsibilities that they were accountable to for a brother. And it concerned those gone astray, those needing restoration, those needing lifting up, those which are lost and found. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Now, but I want you to notice, first of all, that these were responsibilities not just to a brother, but to all men, even to enemies. Take your Bible, go to Exodus 23. Exodus 23. These are responsibilities to all. Definitely to brethren, but to all. Exodus 23, look at verse 4. "If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and will just forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him." So not just to a brother, but to an enemy. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. At verse 17. Romans 12, 17. "Recompense to no man evil for evil." Somebody does you wrong, you do them right. "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you." Live peaceably with all men. As much as lieth within you, if it be possible. Brother, some people won't let you live peaceably with them. They just won't. But if it be possible, as much as lieth within you. In other words, on your part, do as much as you can to live peaceably with all men. Brother, if someone won't let you, well, then sometimes you just gotta avoid their company. You just gotta, nothing you can do. All right? But if they'll let you, all right? As much as, if it be possible, sometimes it's not. But on your part, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Let me just pause and say this very quickly. If that is true to an enemy, how much more so in a marriage with a husband and wife? Brother, if you're supposed to feed and give drink to an enemy, how much more so in a home? You understand? You will never work anything out in a home if you keep an attitude of, okay, they're going to do me that way, guess what I'm going to do to them. Never work. You'll never work. You'll never get anywhere. If you're supposed to, look, the Bible says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. So how much more so for somebody in your home? Well, I'm upset at my dad or my mom. Serve them. Serve them. Serve them. I'm upset at my husband. Feed him. Feed him. Make sure he's took care of. Look after him. I'm upset at my wife. Make sure she's provided for. Bring her a treat. I'm sorry. I just don't have that in me. Well, I don't have that in me, but I have someone in me that enables me and should enable you. Now, I'm serious, brethren. Look here. If thine enemy, if we're supposed to do this to an enemy, how much more somebody in your home? If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire in his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil. And now, brethren, what am I going to do? That's Bible. That's Bible. That's straight. That's scripture. Brethren, if you don't overcome evil with good, you know what will happen? Evil will overcome you. The way that you combat evil is with good. If you don't, it'll overcome you. It'll make you bitter. It'll make you vengeful. It'll just dry up your life. Let me tell you something. There are people, listen to me. You might know something. There are people that still are in a stew over something done to them 25 or 30 years ago. They never got over it. And did you know the person they're mad at has probably gone on with life? And this person, their health and their nervous system and their mental stability is being affected while the people they are upset against, they've gone on. Right, wrong, or indifferent, they've gone on. And you'll stew and let that thing eat you alive. How do you overcome evil? With good. If you don't, evil will overcome you. And that's just the truth. Take your Bible, go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Brethren, there was a governor of Louisiana one time named Earl Long. His brother was Huey Long. And Earl Long was governor of Louisiana. And Earl Long was known to be a great hater. And he hated newspaper reporters because they maligned him. They pretty much run him through the ringer. Earl Long would keep newspapers on the governor's floor and spit on the newspaper articles and spit on the reporters. He just to keep himself stirred up. He just to spit and just keep himself stirred up. Now, brethren, that's a miserable way to be. Earl Long lost his mind. Earl Long ultimately lost his mind. He just went over the deep end. And you can't but wonder sometimes if all that bitterness and that hatred just inside of him. And he was always in competition with his brother. Huey was governor first. And I guess Earl held office longer than Huey, who got assassinated in office. They just blew him away, right? He killed him. Steps, of the Capitol. And Earl said, Huey never done that. Always in his mind. Brother, that's a miserable way to be. That's how it just ride you to the grave. And he'll put you in early grave. Listen. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If thirst, give him drink. Look, 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Look, if there's somebody at work that just has it out for you, all right, possibly try to avoid them as much as you can. But if you can, if you can do them a good turn, and it not escalate trouble, try to do it. Listen, don't do something for somebody knowing it'll make them mad. Your spirit's wrong. Your spirit's wrong. If you're like, you know what? Oh, this will do it. I'm gonna bring them something. I'm gonna give them a cup of coffee. They won't be able to stand it. Well, you know what? Your spirit's wrong. You just need to stay back of the thing. But if you can do something for them and it won't be taken wrong, see, you better check. Well, I was just doing what the Bible said. Knock it off. You know what you're doing. That don't cut it. Don't you use the Word of God to try to hide yourself behind when your spirit's wrong. When you can do the thing with the right attitude, of course. Well, what do I mean about heaping coals of fire in your head? Look, if you do right with the right attitude, it will. It will. There's a difference between someone facing themselves and getting mad versus you giving them legitimate reason to be angry with you. But then some folks get upset because you're making them face their own unreasonableness. And they don't like it. Okay, but brethren, don't give folks cause to get upset at you because of the way you're handling the thing. Do the right thing. Now, with that being said, go back to Deuteronomy 22. I want you to notice here there are a couple of things that we have responsibility, the Jews did, toward their brethren and toward an enemy, to all men. What was the first one? Well, verse 1, thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. So we have a responsibility to those who are gone astray. To those who are gone astray. What does the word astray mean? In the dictionary, it means out of the right way or proper place. Brethren, when we see someone going astray, it is our responsibility to bring them home to God if we can. To bring them home to their spouse if we can. To bring them home to their family if we can. To bring them home to church if we can. It's our responsibility if we can. To help those going astray get back on the right path. Get where they're supposed to be again. They've gone astray. His ox or his ass go astray. You're not supposed to hide yourself. In other words, you know, man's going out for a walk and his youngin' says, well, that's Mr. Smith's. That's their cow, ain't it? I don't see none. What? No, Daddy, that's their cow. I don't see none. Why? Because to go get that cow and bring it home means that until he comes looking for it, or you go deliver it to him, you have to feed it, look after it. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some of your effort. It's going to put you out of the way a little bit. But that's all supposed to be done. Look, if you saw someone's ass or ox or sheep going astray, you weren't supposed to go, boy, that thing's probably going to break a leg. Well, tough luck for them. No, you're supposed to go and bring it to them again. Either take it to your house if you can until they can come get it, or you got time to, or take it all over to them if you see it going astray. Brethren, there are people going astray. Astray means out of the right way or proper place. Brethren, when you see somebody going astray, help get them back where they're supposed to be. Pray about it, about how to handle it, because they're probably not going to like it at first. If you go to get that ox or that sheep, they're probably going to try to run away or resist. That's not what they want to do. And you know what? Since you're not the owner, they may not be comfortable with you. They may not be used to you, and they'll resist you. So what are you going to get sometimes from some folks? Mind your own business. You ain't the Lord. You ain't my pastor. You ain't my this. You ain't my that. You ain't my... Yeah, but you're a brother-in-law. Brother, I love you. I just care about you. So understand, there's going to be some resistance. There's going to be some resistance. And may I also say, brethren, an ox or ass and a sheep are a little bit different. Man, you can't force somebody. You can't. But you can, with God guiding you, say, hey, brother, look. You may not like me for this, but I care. And used to be you was reading your Bible, but I notice now you come to work, you're reading everything but your Bible now. I can't help but notice it. I'm not trying to stick my nose in your business. I care about you. Handle the right way. Most time people are just like, you're right. I appreciate it. They'll take it right. And even if they don't, you just, okay. Hey, you tried. You say, hey, brother, you know, I've noticed something, you know, just seemed like you and your wife, something Sarah, not cry. I'm just concerned about it. Brother, there's a responsibility in the right way. Handled in the right way. I've known people. I knew a brother one time. He was just gone astray. He used to love the Lord and the things of God. And some brethren had handled it kind of the wrong way. Hey, you want nothing to do with it. I went to see him, and he let me. But he told me, he said, I'm letting you in this house because I do know you love me. Now, listen to you. But brethren, some folks who want to be the Christian Avenger with a special cape on their back going around setting everybody right, that ain't gonna work. People can see through that. But if they see you, that you love them, and you're doing it because you love them, and you're not trying to stick your nose just in their business, but you're just trying to do what the Bible says to be, your spirit will come across right if it's right. And don't get received, okay, that's all you can do. But brethren, there was a responsibility to that one that was going astray. Out of place. Not where they ought to be. Not in church. In places doing things that they ought not. Go to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 16. Proverbs 21, verse 16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He wanders away, goes astray, and he'll remain in the congregation of the dead. When you see that individual like that, do what you can to help them get back to where they're supposed to be. They ought to be at home, they're not at home. Ought to be at church, they're not at church. Like I said, when you see them going astray from the things that used to be there, if you can help, something you can do, don't be like Cain. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, we are. To take that kind of attitude, the attitude of Cain, ain't my business. Ain't my day to watch him. There's a right way to do it. There's a right way to do it. And if your spirit is right, okay, not every time will it be received right, but that's okay. You've done your part. And deep down, they know. They know that you care. All right, look here. What causes men to go astray? Sin, folly, fornication, pornography. Those are things that cause men to go astray. Take your Bible to Proverbs 5. It's disheartening. It kills you to see someone that was once on fire for the Lord, in the Word of God, loving the things of God, to see them just getting where things start getting slack, start getting, and it's dangerous because when time is not spent in the Word of God, brethren, you know what's going to keep you holy? Time spent in the things of God. It's going to keep you around. It's going to keep you right. Like you've heard that phrase, this book will keep you from sin, or seeing sin will keep you from this book. It's true. It is very true. It's very true. All right? Brethren, we start staying away from the Word. There's just something about, brethren, spending time in the Scriptures that just has a purifying effect upon your life. Proverbs 5, look at verse 20. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall what? Go where? Astray. What led this one astray in Proverbs 5? A strange woman. A woman not his own. A woman that's not his. It took him astray. All right? Take your Bible, go to Proverbs 7. Sin, folly, fornication, pornography, they will lead you astray. Proverbs 7, look at verse 4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Look at that. Wisdom and understanding are supposed to be called what? Sister and kinswoman. And they're supposed to stand there in the gap, as it were, to help keep you from the stranger. Can I say something? If you've got brothers or sisters in your family, hey, sisters, look after your younger sisters and your brothers and warn them. Warn them. When you see somebody coming across their path that's not good for them, stand in the gap and make up the hedge there and say, hey, don't you see that person ain't good? That person ain't no good for you. You're headed for some trouble. Stand in there for them. I'm serious. Look, understanding and wisdom are said to be sister and kinswoman to keep thee from the way of the who? The strange woman. Well, now we understand that's wisdom and understanding. But you know what? Look, a sister should tell a younger sister or younger brother, listen to me. You're headed for some trouble. I love you. Stay away. You're going to get yourself in a fix. I mind your own business. Look, I'm just telling you. I'm trying to help you. That's love. That's concern. Try to tell them. Look at this real quick. Go down to Proverbs 7, verse 25. Let not thine heart decline to her ways that go not, there's that word again, what? Astray. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Men go astray. That strange woman, that woman that's up to no good, she'll lead you astray. Instead of loving the things of God, instead of being around the things of God, she'll lead you astray there. You better watch. You better be careful. All right? So being led, what will lead a man astray? Folly, sin, fornication, pornography. Hey, chasing a dollar. Go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. Be careful. Use money. Don't let money use you. Don't chase that dollar. 2 Peter 2, look at verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way and gone, there's that word again, astray. Well, how'd they go astray? Following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the what? Wages of unrighteousness. How did Balaam go astray? Chased a dollar. He chased a dollar. He knew the word that God had given him, but he wanted that. So Balaam knew, man, I can't go beyond what God said. I cannot go beyond the word of God. I can't. And he told Balak, I can't do it. God's told me to bless that crowd. I can't curse them. I can't. So the Bible says that Balak smote his hands together and said, I thought to promote you unto honor, but the Lord's kept you back. So he's like, I told you I can't go beyond what God said. But then when you compare Numbers with Revelation, you'll find out what happened next. Before he left, Balaam said, whoa, man, just hold on. If you calm down, there's more than one way to skin a cat. What are you talking about? I ask you to curse that crowd and you bless them. What? Just go on. No, man, hold. By the way, offer's still good? What? Well, I mean, you know, if I take care of this group right here, is the offer still good? Well, you said you can't curse them. All right. But I said there's more than one way to skin a cat. Look, man, you can't curse that crowd. They're blessed. You understand? You get it through your head. But Balak, if you get that crowd into sin, God will wipe them out. He's no respecter of persons. Though they're his people, it don't matter. He will start slaying them left and right. You got to get them to sin. Well, how am I supposed to do that? Look, man, they're a separate and a holy people. You guys don't worship their God. You are the other gods. Look, go make overtures to them. Be peaceable. Be friendly. Invite them to your fellowship. Invite them to your get-together, your youth. Look, boys and boys or girls all over the world, huh? Get them to come. You know how those girls are. Them boys and those girls will start laying together. They'll start fornicating and God will start wiping them out. And that's what happened. They invited them to fellowship together. They got to knowing one another. They got to fornicating and God started wiping them out. And it wasn't until Phinehas took that javelin and went in there and executed judgment. God stopped that thing. God was wiping them out. And that's what Balaam did. And that was his plan to mess them up. What did he love? Dollar. The wages of unrighteousness. What did it do? Caused him to go astray. Brethren, you know what? The Bible warns us in Peter. It says, which have forsaken the right way. Why? Why they forsake the right way? They're going astray. Why? They're like Balaam. They love the wages of unrighteousness. You know why some people go astray? They chase the dollar. They're like, you know what? If I live like that, I ain't going to have nothing. And I can still. Yeah, you can be religious. You can be religious. If you don't mind hell, chase the dollar. Now, I'm not trying to be sarcastic or nothing like that, but that's some people settle for it, brethren. They know they need to surrender to God through Jesus Christ, but they don't want that. But they still want to maintain an outward, so people will think good of them, an outward persona of righteousness, so they become religious and do what they want to do. But there is a reckoning day. Listen, it'll cause you to go astray. Be careful. Sin, folly, fornication, pornography, chasing the dollar. They'll lead you astray. When you see somebody going astray, we have a responsibility to, with God guiding us, helping them to get back to where they're supposed to be. where they're supposed to be. Okay, what was next? All right, Deuteronomy 22, verse 2. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. So here's the next word, restoration. First, you had those going astray. And verse 2 is similar to verse 1, but notice the word, restore. Those needing restoration. You know what the word restore means? To renew or reestablish after interruption. Brethren, there are folks going astray. They need to be helped back where they need to be. Some need restoration. Go to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 1. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. That's the word we just saw in Deuteronomy. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Brethren, there's some folks out there, they need restoration. You ain't going to restore them, though, if you go in with a self-righteous attitude, or if you go in looking down your nose at them. You got to go in considering yourself. You got to go in with meekness. You got to go in saying, brother, I don't think I'm better than you. Lord knows I could fall prey, but I'm telling you right now, brother, I just want to be a help, man. You need to get back right. You need to be restored. You need to be restored right to God, right to your Bible reading like you were. It may be with a spouse. It may be with parents. It may be with children. It may be with friends. It may be with brethren. Restoration. Listen, sometime, you know, look here. This is something to keep in mind. Onesimus fled to Paul. You know what Paul did? Loved him, helped him. He even got saved. And then he helped restore him back. Brother, if somebody ever flees to you, brethren, there have been situations before. Sometimes wives have fled because of fear for their life. Or just they're like, I just got to get away, man. I can't take no more. Or children. You know what you do? Help them out. But try always with the goal in mind, bringing restoration. Getting them restored back to their husband. Getting them restored back to their family. Getting them restored back. Paul didn't say to Onesimus, hit the road, man. No, he took him in, helped him with the ultimate goal of restoration. Trying to be a help. All right? And brethren, that's what we want to try to do always is take. And listen, sometimes somebody might get upset. That's where at times you have to shoot straight with somebody and say, look, I'm trying to help you out. I don't mean this mean or nothing like that. But look, you evidently there's a problem here and you need to face up to some problems. And I want to help you if I can, trying to get restoration. But no, none of us like any situations like that. Nobody likes that. But thanks be to God, somebody can trust somebody to go to. Thanks be to God, Onesimus could go to Paul. And Paul went there and helped him out and tried to get him back then. But there's folks needing restoration. Again, sometimes with spouse or parents. With children, with friends, with brethren, needing restoration with God above all. Go to James chapter 5. James 5. Brethren, you know what makes us mad at times? That's just shoot straight, man. You know what makes us mad at times? When we get found out. When we get found out. And people realize that we ain't what we really pretend to be or what our facade is. We don't like that. That's just truth, brother. We don't like that. We don't like it a bit. Nobody does. Because, brother, we like to keep our tight little world where we got it in control and nobody. And, brother, when that thing starts getting out, we don't like it. But, brother, if there's any hope for us to be what we ought to be and we're ought to be with God, sometimes those things have to happen. James 5, look at verse 19. James 5, verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Amen. Brethren, so there needs restoration at times people need. And if we can help with that, again, not being a busybody, Brethren, I'm not, brethren, look here. I do not buy this thing that God has called some men to the office of holy troubleshooter. I don't buy it. I do not buy it, brethren. I have known people, believe it or not, I have known people who have said they felt like they were called. You think I'm lying to you. I have known men who have said they feel like that they were kind of like God called them to be a troubleshooter to churches and this and that. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it. All right. But brethren, when situations come across your path, not you trying to, who can I deliver today? And brethren, it's about like that. And usually somebody doing that, you know why they like other people's problems? Because they ain't got to think of their own.
Right.
Usually somebody that's trying to actively fix everybody else's problems, it's because they don't want to face their own. I'll tell you right now. But when things come across your path, okay, that's a different story. That's a different story. Back to Deuteronomy 22 a minute. Look at this. Verse 3. In like manner shalt thou do with his ass, and so shalt thou do with his raiment, and with any lost thing of thy brother's which he hath lost and thou hast found, shalt thou do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself, so those lost and found. You got those going astray, those needing restoration now, those that are lost and found. You see, that which is lost and is now found is to be carefully looked after until delivered to its owner. Let's suppose you found somebody's raiment, somebody's clothing, their cloak or whatever laying somewhere. And you were like, whoa, you know what? That's old so-and-so. And he was going out of town. He dropped this thing. Man, I gotta. It's not a matter of, well, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. No, it's like, that's his, ain't mine. So you take it, and you're like, what are you gonna do with it? Well, we're gonna take it home. We're gonna dust it off and everything. We're gonna lay it up so when he comes back, you know, we've got it for him because that's his. He lost it. We found it, and we're going to look after it, deliver it to him again. But you know what? Listen, men out there are lost, and they're found by Jesus Christ, and he's the owner. But you know something, brethren? There are people that are left to us to look after until they're delivered to the owner one day. Did you know that, brethren? But when people get lost and found, we have a responsibility to look after them, help them, all right, till the day that they get delivered to their owner, to the Lord. I'll show you what I mean. Take your Bible, go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Brethren, I was lost and I was found. And then God puts people across your path to help you and keep you in safekeeping. I know ultimately the Holy Ghost is that, of course, but he works through us so to safekeeping till we're delivered one day to our rightful owner, to the Lord, one day. Colossians 1, look at verse 28. Paul puts it this way, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul did? After folks got saved, you know what Paul wanted to do? Paul wanted to help them grow and get to that place that they could be presented perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, we are perfect in our standing, but as far as finishing up our course here, as far as rewards, Paul wanted to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. After they get saved, help them grow and help them to go. Listen, take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. First Corinthians 4 and verse 11. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of all the world and the all scare and of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you that ye be I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Why did Paul want them to follow him? So they could grow and go on and listen, have all that the Lord wants them to have in himself and be presented right before him one day. Quickly go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from which the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You get saved and God wants you to grow then. He wants you to grow and get edified and grow into the fullness and stature of the fullness of Christ, what God would have you to have. And brethren, God, and what institution has God set up to do that? Church, man. The church. The local church. That's the institution God has set up to perfect us by. And don't you ever forget it. Brethren, we cannot. Brethren, listen. There's something you got to have from the day you get saved till the day you die. Whether you're saved one day, one month, one year, or 70 years. There's three things you got to have. Prayer, time in that book, and church. Or you'll never develop and be what God would have you to be. What's the institution God has established to grow you? Because he set some offices, pastors, preachers, teachers, those different things to edify the... What's he set up? What is the evangelism? You go and get the gospel out. Folks get saved. They come to local church and that's where you grow at. What's the institution God has set up? The local church. And there's no way around it. That's what God has established. So brethren, look, you'll never be what God intends for you to be without prayer, without time in the Bible, without the local church. And notice, maketh increase, what's that last part in verse 16? Unto the edifying of itself in love. You get edified. The body's to edify itself in love. In love. In love. Each part caring about the other part. Brethren, your body cares about itself. It does. Man, your hand will, listen, if your calf is hurting, your hand cares. And it'll go down there and rub that calf. It'll care for that thing. Listen, if your back is scratching, your hand will find something it can to help the back out. And your body just naturally cares for itself. Okay. Lord means for the body to care for itself. And make an increase of itself, edifying itself in love. And God has set up different offices and different things for that to be done. All right. So, again, those lost and found need to be taken and looked after till delivered to the owner one day. All right. What was the next thing? The last one. Deuteronomy 22. And verse 4. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. So there was a stray, restoration, lost and found. Now there are those needing lifted up. Those needing lifting up are needing help lifting others up. Take your Bible, go to Romans 12. Romans 12. You know something, brethren? Sometimes somebody might need some help being lifted up or helping somebody lift somebody up. Well, if you was to see that ox or that ass stuck somewhere, and that guy's trying to get his ox out of that ditch or out of that mud, the Bible says you're supposed to go and help him out. Help him lift that one up. Help him lift that one up. Romans 12, look at verse 15. Romans 12, verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Brethren, when somebody can't do that, it's because they want everything centering around them. They want everything centering around them. Brethren, we need to go into situations feeling out what's the mood here. And I don't want to turn it all into me, but if it's a sad mood, I want to weep with them that weep. I want to rejoice with them. In other words, let me tell you something. It is a self-centered person that will go to a wedding and mourn. And it's a self-centered person that will go to a funeral and will rejoice and try to have a partying attitude. That don't make no sense. Do you know something? You can still go to certain funeral websites and there's etiquette that they speak about as far as dress. It's always been given through the years that for the most part, listen, understand what I'm saying. You know, tend to black or somber, you know. They say for the most part, you don't wear bright red to a funeral. And you know why? Because guess what that's saying? Me, not the person that's passed away and the grieving family. Me. You don't believe it? I remember years ago we went to a funeral and there was a lady at the funeral. Bright red dress, bright red hat. I may even had red shoes on. And the family was upset. Because you know what? That was just the way she was. And their attitude was, once again, it's all about. And they were like, hey, she got enough sense to know that, look, it's not. It's that's supposed to be, there's a, it means something. It's a somber thing. It's not, look at me. Look at my colors. Look at, hey, it's a somber time. And that speaks in words and it speaks in dress. Brethren, we should go into something not about us, but somebody else. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Look what it says next. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Brethren, you understand that, look, if you was going to help somebody get an ox or an ass up, guess what you're going to have to do? You have to get down there and get under that thing. Brethren, to help somebody lift their load, you're going to have to humble down, get low, and get underneath that thing. You don't pick somebody up for the most part by standing, but you got to get down there and help lift. That's why the Bible says, condescend to men of low estate. Mind not high things. You help folks lift up their burden when you get down there with them and get under the thing. Take your Bible. Go to Romans 15. Romans 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. A true strong saint of God realizes that God gives that strength to help bear the infirmities of others, not to concentrate on oneself. Brethren, if you find somebody, brethren, that thinks that they are strong in the faith, yet can't help bear the infirmities of others, they don't have the strength they think that they have. We that are strong ought to what? Bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Do you know what you can sum up? Someone has put it this way. It's true. Being a gentleman has to be with, you know what? Just simply manners and thinking of others. You ever say, well, I don't have good etiquette and I don't have good manners. Let me tell you something. You ain't got to go take somebody's course on good manners. Manners is simply a thing of thinking of somebody else and not being centered around yourself. You can listen, without any training, you'll get fine in most circumstances if you just don't think about you all the time. And if you try to think of somebody else, you'll come out usually pretty good. Look, somebody strong in the faith ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Not us, others. And you help them lift that load. Not a matter of, man, boy, he's going to be struggling with that for a while. Brethren, that'd be the way of a jerk. No, the Bible said, Lord said, no, you come down there and you help them get that. Nathan Bedford Forrest, that helped him procure a wife. What are you talking about? Well, Mr. Forrest was, as a young man, was going down the road and he happened to see a lady, a very attractive young girl, and her mother stuck in some mud in a little creek. And there were two seminary students standing on the bank, kind of looking and maybe laughing a little bit, but not doing anything to help. Forrest got down and probably used some choice words and put his shoulder to the thing, and maybe got them to help him find it and got the thing out of there. Well, he thought the young lady was a pretty fair-looking young girl. So he went to call on her. And so did the two seminary students who promptly got chased away on the threat of their lives by Mr. Forrest. And he's a mariner. And she was instrumental in him later on getting saved. Later on in his life. What I'm telling you, brethren, is this here. You know what no doubt had a big effect on that girl? Forrest got down, got in the mud, and put his shoulder to that wagon. And they wouldn't do it. The Lord said, look, you see brother's ox, and he's asking you, you get down and help. And brethren, there are people out there, listen, they need some lifting up. Haven't you ever needed some lifting up? How about weekly or down? We need some lifting up. There's enough in this life to get you down. There's enough in this life to weigh you down at times. All right? We need some lifting up. And you know what? Sometimes you can see somebody trying to lift somebody up, and they need a hand. Give them a hand. And try to help somebody lift them up and encourage them. And brethren, when you're lifting somebody up, a lot of times you just help them get to the point where they get their own footing. There may be somebody wounded that needs to be carried, but a lot of times it's just getting to the point where they can get some purchase and get their own footing. That's all it's needed. We all need that, a little bit of that sometimes. But we need it in truth. We need it in truth. Brethren, the world don't understand that. The world don't understand that. They think that what makes you feel good is jokes and laughter. And that ain't always the thing that's... God give us the gift of laughter. That's fine, brethren. But sometimes just somebody right down there with you understanding, and just pushing there, being right there with you. That's what you need. And Lord says responsibility. It's a responsibility of ours. Real quick, go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. What do you do? You got a brother that's unruly, not acting right. Warn him. Brother, I love you. You better get you out together. You have some trouble, man. You better knock that off. Warn him. Hey, comfort the feeble-minded. But sometimes you have a feeble-minded saint. What's that? Well, that might be a saint that just... They got enough sense to get saved, but not much more after that. They're feeble. Ain't you ever run into some slow saints? Yeah. They got sense enough. They're not so retarded in their mind that they can't get saved. They can grasp salvation, but that's about it. Man, what that fella you told me about up there before, you know, at the church, broke Brother Nagowski's heart that time, you know. You know, he was kind of simple, wasn't he? Very simple. But some things he could get. There's things he could get. You know, a lot of times, somebody like that, what they do get, they got. And a lot of times, somebody like that, you know what? There's certain things they can't, they need comfort in a lot of times. You know what? You get an older parent or grandparent, they're going to get feeble-minded. And there's going to come a time and place that you can't quite reason with them. You know what you need to do? Comfort the feeble-minded. Let them know it's okay. Everything's fine. They get to a point you can't explain things because they can't understand it. If you just break your back trying to do that. Just let them know it's okay. Everything's okay. Everything's going to be all right. It's all right. It's fine. Comfort the feeble-minded. What does the Bible say here? Warn the unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Guess what? Sometimes saints are weak. Yes, Brother Doss, I guess they need a strong saint like me. Well, you may be strong now, but your weak time probably coming. That thing goes back and forth. And when you find yourself strong in the faith, praise the Lord. Okay, why do you think God gave you that strength? Just to show off your spiritual musculature? No. To support the weak. Put it to purpose. Help those who are weak. Don't think of yourself. Because the thing will come back around. And then be patient, the Bible says, toward all men. Need heap loads of that. All right. So, brethren, look here. Just like that Jewish individual had a responsibility for those that were going astray, those that needed restoration, those lost and found that needed tending till restored, till brought to the owner, and those that were needed lifting up. We find the same thing us today. And we need to be involved in it, and then helping those who are involved in it in any way that we can. Last thing I want to go over quickly is this. Did you know we find all four of those states concerning salvation gone astray? What does the Bible say? All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We are all gone astray sheep that need to be returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ. Restoration. The Bible says, listen, Christ gave himself to reconcile us to God, giving us the ministry of reconciliation. We now, through Christ, can be reconciled, restored to a right relationship to God. Lost. Well, we were lost. And hopefully found. And if you're not saved, you're not saved, you're still lost. And the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That was me. That was you here. If you're born again right now, there was a time you were lost. You didn't know God, didn't know direction. And you found God in Jesus Christ. And you were found. He found you and you found him. And then lifting up. You know, the Bible says we're seated in heavenly places. God has lifted us up. He's put us in heavenly positions there in Jesus Christ. Well, look here. Let me ask you. Do you want to be on the path of righteousness? Do you want to be reconciled to God? Do you want to be found? Do you want to be exalted to heaven now? Not just when you die. Hey, you know something, brethren? I'm just real quick. Do you know what the whole problem is? See, I know that one day I'm going to get put and placed in heaven bodily. I'm going to. About 30-some years ago, I got placed there, though, spiritually in Christ. Because I wanted that. Brethren, when I got saved, I was not thinking about heaven someday. I wanted God now. You know what some people want, brethren? They want heaven someday. They don't want heaven right now. They don't want a relationship with God now. They want it someday. What they want is, at the end of the road, let it be waiting on me and I'll slide in there. You're a fool. You're out of your mind. You don't know what you're talking about. Don't operate like that. If you hope to have heaven one day, it's because you want it now. You want to have a relationship with God now. You want to have where you're seated with him in heavenly places now. You're reconciled to him. And then the rest of it comes there one day with it. Brother, I'll just tell you this. Listen. I don't put much stock in somebody wanting salvation if they don't want to be exalted to heaven now. If they don't want to know God now, just when they die. It's a present relationship. God, listen, and God cannot and won't take you in your sinful condition. But you can't clean yourself up. God has made a way through the blood of his Son that if you are willing, if you want God, and if you realize you are rebellious and self-willed, that you live just for yourself, and you're willing to turn from you to God, God can take through the blood of Jesus Christ. He can wash you, cleanse you, forgive you from your sins, and bring you into a real and right relationship with himself. You can have that if you want it, but you will only get it on God's terms, not your own. That's sin. The matter of sin has to be dealt with. And God has dealt with it through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's done. But are you willing to accept what's been done on your behalf? And do you really want God? Or do you just want to miss hell? You forget it. Everybody wants to miss hell. They just don't want God. They just don't want God in truth. That ain't what it is. It ain't a matter of, well, I just want to miss hell and get to heaven. Listen, first of all, with attitude like that, you'd ruin heaven. Hang on. Let me explain what I mean. Those in heaven aren't desiring just heaven. They love God. Brethren, when I got born again, brethren, it was because I was so thankful to God that he would give himself for me. I realized he loved me. I realized I was rebellious. I was self-willed. And I wanted God. And I realized to come to God, I had to accept what his Son had done for me. And I did. And the glorious thing was knowing him. What's it about? And you can have that if you want it. It's all bound up in Jesus Christ. If you want to be exalted to heaven now, spiritually speaking, you can. Or are you just trying to like, well, just when I die. And so I can kind of do what I want right now. Those aren't the terms. Let me ask you, do you want to stay lost or do you want to be found? Well, Brother Dawson, who wants to stay lost? A lot of people. Why, don't you know there are people in this life that they're lost? There's search parties out for them and they keep running. They don't want to be found. See, there are people that love them. There's people that have search parties or rescue parties searching for them. They're crying tears. They're shedding tears. Oh, where are they at? Oh, where are they at? And they don't want to be found. For whatever reason, they got lost on purpose. And they see people coming and they don't run to them, they run from them. What can you do for somebody that don't want to be found? Well, if you're lost, do you want to be found? Man, there's people probably praying for you, shedding tears over you, interceding for you, above all, the Lord, seeking you, putting truth across your path, and you run from it. You duck and you dodge and you hide. You don't want to be found. And that's something. From people that care about you, love, a God that loves you enough to give himself for you, but yet you don't want to be found. That's a foolish thing. And the problem of it is, if you want to be lost, if you want to stay lost, well, you're giving the Lord no choice and you'll just stay lost. You made a choice, you'll stay lost for eternity. But you better disabuse yourself of this notion that, well, everybody ultimately gets into heaven other than, you know, real, really bad rapists or murderers or Hitlers, you know. No. A lot of nice people end up in hell. The Bible says the fearful and the unbelieving. Before it ever mentions the whoremongers and the murderers, it says the fearful and the unbelieving. Fear will rob you. Fear will rob you. Rob you of your soul. The unbelieving. Well, look, all those different situations there can be remedied in Jesus Christ. Going astray, needing restoration, lost, need to be found, need lifting up. All that can be done in Jesus Christ. If we're saved, it's a ministry that the Lord wants us all involved in. Helping those that are going astray to get back where they need to be. Helping those that need to be restored to get back to right relationships with family, above all with God. Helping those that are lost and have been found, helping to keep them in good condition until they're presented one day before the Lord. Helping those that are down to be lifted back up. The Lord does it all in salvation, but he gives us a part of it to minister in after salvation if we're willing to have a part of it. I'm going to close up here in prayer. But listen, please be willing to search your heart and seek and know where you're at. If you want to be found, if you want to be restored, if you want to be lifted up, if you want to be, all that can be yours, but it's got to be done in God's way, and God's way, it's the blood sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. If you're willing to turn to God, you can meet him if you'll come to him through Christ Jesus. Let's pray, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these passages. Father, help us, dear Lord, to understand how we can be involved, Lord, in helping to help those going astray, help bring restoration. Help those who have been lost and now found, and help those who need lifting up. Lord, all those four verses, Lord, in different ways, Lord, go over responsibilities that you expected your people to have to one another. And Father, help us realize in a spiritual sense, it's also our responsibility. And precious Father, I pray anyone that's listening today that doesn't know you, Father, please continue to deal with them. Please, Father, by your Spirit, deal with them and draw them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Father, that they would see the folly of their way and be willing to turn to you through the Lord Jesus Christ and accept what's been done on their behalf. Father, we thank you. Father, we ask this in the Lord Jesus' precious and holy name.